This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
How about doing ENN then?
This is ENN, don't you know?
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Well, yeah, but what do I care about underwear trends?
That's right.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, what happened?
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on this, Michael's favorite, a Tuesday edition of ENN. And you know it's special because tonight's ENN, of course, is brought to you by our friends at Coors. Coors Seltzer is looking for volunteers to help save our rivers. Whatever you're doing, if you drink Coors Seltzer, you're volunteering. Each 12-pack sold will help restore 500 gallons of river water. Drink a seltzer, help save the Hudson River. Details at CoorsSeltzer.com. I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
In Game 7 of the 2016 World Series.
Oh.
And then I'd like to say good evening to Don.
You know the girl from the H&R Block commercials? You usually see it during tax time. I think she's really cute.
Peter, can I ask you one thing?
Sure.
What's that orange plastic bag on your door handle?
That's a colostomy bag, Michael. He doesn't want to talk about it.
Oh, my goodness.
But he's had a rough week.
It's a West Sider records bag. It's an Upper West Side sort of used record store and bookstore thing.
Gotcha.
I'm a little upset right now.
Why is that?
No sense.
Because I've been hearing from my building about this facade restoration project.
Oh, those are the worst.
Do you seriously remember?
Yeah, they have to build those that ugly stuff for like 2 years. One of the great charades in all of charades in all of the city.
So hold on. So A, it means we're gonna have scaffolding for. I asked when the project's ending. They said it's scheduled to end December of 2021.
No.
Okay, well, let's just play along for now, because that's not even the worrisome part. So, okay, it's hideous. Fine. But, Michael, does that mean that from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, for the next 14 months, there's going to be banging in construction? Or, like, will it fade as they move around the building and I won't hear them the whole time?
I've got to be honest. When I lived in a building that had that going on, I just think they put the facade up. I don't see any work that they do.
Really?
I think they look for.
Oh, that would be great. I would love for the facade to be a charade.
I think they put that up, and they'll check the building for loose bricks. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a CYA sort of move, in case there's a lawsuit if a brick falls, because a lot of buildings in New York are old.
I'm so glad I brought this up, because I was stressed out. That, yes, it's annoying, and particularly, guys, I live on the first floor, so now I have a balcony. My balcony is wooden planks where construction workers walk by my living room window. It's really pleasant.
Well, you can now sun yourself on that balcony.
So that is true. I didn't think about that. But it's nice to know that you're saying that it's basically a song and dance for them to make sure, in theory, that no bricks would fall off of the building.
That's not an educated
Of course not. It's not just official.
It's but just, it means they're probably not working. That's what I experienced at my building. I think I lived in my building for 6 or 7 years, and they did it twice during that time, and the scaffolding stays up forever, and it's hideous looking. I think it's one of the great ruses in all of the world.
Now, keep in mind, they're just now finishing the gas repair in my building where I didn't have gas for a year. They're just, I've got my gas back, but other apartments haven't.
That banging and knocking. Terrible.
You know what? I'm moving. I've had enough.
I think you deserve to move.
But the thing is, I'm trying to support Manhattan. I want to stay here. I want to be a part of New York City.
Yeah, but I
still
enjoy
it.
You have an afternoon drive show and a morning show.
Right.
Get off the first floor. Stop it.
Wait, what do you mean?
Moving on up. That's what George Jefferson did.
Well, I don't know if you know this, Michael.
To a deluxe apartment in the sky, not on the ground.
Well, I'm not on the ground. I'm one floor. But let me just say this. I don't know if you're aware, but there have been some advantages to not having to take an elevator ride all the time.
Okay, but those advantages will go away soon.
And by the way, it's still going to be annoying when I go up high. I have to move.
Just move to the burbs. Get a nice home.
That's what Don wants. See, Don wants me to get a pool like him.
You know, and in Alpine, New Jersey, somewhere, get a nice little mansion.
Now you're talking.
Can we do
out with a nice indoor pool.
You know what? I said we would come out of the gate smoking, talking Joe Judge, Daniel Jones. And this was big. We had to cover
the smoke show.
I'll probably get tweets galore from people talking about the facade charade. But, so the Giants were caught red-handed out in Manhattan Friday night. Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones, Sterling Shepard, and some Giants rookies got caught in some pictures taken by, what was the name of the DJ?
DJ Mike? Lughead.
RJ. And so DJ Lughead apparently posted photos, got them in trouble. Also, there was a part of the trouble was not only that they weren't wearing masks and that they were at a bar, but also supposedly Saquon Barkley was riding a bike.
Yeah, he has to keep his leg in shape before he has the knee surgery.
Evidently so. So let's hear from good old Joe Judge on his first inside Giant controversy.
Yeah, I've spoken to all the individuals involved as well as the entire team on what happened this past weekend. We're going to deal with things internally. The only thing I'm going to say on that is, you know, this group of guys has been very responsible from the very beginning. They've tried to do the right thing the entire time. Based on the conversation, the information I've gathered from our players, I believe they're trying to do the right thing as teammates with going out and having dinner together the other night. We have to make sure that we're just conscious as an organization in everything we do. But anything else on top of that, we're going to deal with internally.
I know who they bring in. Sorry, go ahead, Michael.
Why would you allow pictures to be taken and post for them? You do what you want, I guess. And as long as it's within the rules, you know, it was supposedly a private dining room. Why are you taking pictures? How dumb are you? That's what happened with the boat. Why'd you pose on the boat? Man. No one would have ever known you were on the boat.
Sterling's in both.
Yeah.
Sterling's the only crossover, and I love Sterling.
You know who else was on it? John Sterling was there. Both
is that
of them.
True?
Oh, yeah.
What'd he say?
I think you know what he said.
No, I want to know.
Tongue.
What else?
Asparagus.
Any thoughts on the DJ?
Veal cutlet.
I know the Giants actually have, if you think about it, someone on their staff who they could call in to talk to these guys and really make the whole thing make sense.
There you go. Ooh, earn your paycheck.
Oh.
See, here's the thing, guys. Danny, Saquon, Sterling, I want to talk to you about what happened last week. Now, we all know the China virus is fake, all right? Trust me about one thing, though. You don't wear a mask because of the so-called virus. You wear a mask so people don't know what's coming next. I always wear a mask. Second I leave the facility, when I go down to my farm, when I go to my grandmama's house, when I go see my pa. In fact, my pa is the man who taught me about masks. He said, son, do you know how I met your mother?
Yes, great show.
I said, no, but that's a fabulous show. It's on CBS, I believe. In fact, it'll be running opposed to Sunday Night Football next week, two reruns. And he said, I'm going to watch that. And I said, no, no, Daddy, the Giants are playing. He said, I don't care, you're terrible. Anyways, he said, son, little Freddie Kiki, how did I meet your mother? I said, Daddy, I don't know. He said, I used to wear a mask and hide outside your mother's house in the bushes and wait for her to come home until it was dark. And then I jump out of the bushes with a mask on. And I said, Daddy, that legitimately sounds like a crime. Sounds terrifying. Nothing about it has to do with love and marriage. And you know what he said, guys? I'm okay. And that's it, honestly. That's the whole story I have. Put on the mask. Key.
I can understand there was some confusion there.
Well, the story, it didn't completely add up, the thing about his father being a really dangerous criminal and now being married to his mother.
Hmm.
But at the same time, I really think the message got across. Guys, I don't know how big a deal this is. Like, I feel like the worst part of this story, it might be Saquon messing around on a bike. But I don't know. I mean, you think they're the only... There's no bubble. This isn't an NBA violation. This isn't sneaking someone into a hotel when you have a bubble. Everyone here technically could be breaking these same rules every day. They're just smart enough to not take pictures.
I know, but if there ends up being an outbreak, right, or if a cluster is formed and it looks like it came from that party, you know, how is it going to look for the organization? How is it going to look for the NFL? All right, the Giant games don't mean anything, right, because they're out of it. But let's say somebody tests positive and now that Monday night game against the Buccaneers is compromised and moved. And we've seen all this stuff happen, but we've heard that maybe there were some Tennessee Titans that broke protocol and all that. But what if something like what happened to Tennessee happens to the Giants and now there's footage of how they got sick and how they got affected? How bad would that be?
It would be
bad.
Sure, that's
here's the biggest concern. I think there's going to be the biggest concern moving forward for the NFL. Players that are on winning teams are going to follow the protocol to the T. When we get to week 10, mm-hmm. when teams are out of it, these guys are going, well, I want to go out and live my life. That's when they're going to have a problem. They'll have no way to reel them in. No way. There's not going to be that carrot of making the playoffs or playing important games. They're just playing out the string. You're gonna see games canceled, and they will not be postponed. They'll just be canceled.
Well, you know what Joe Judge probably said to them. It was probably less about, hey guys, you could get sick. It's probably, hey guys, have you heard the rumored sanctions and penalties that the Titans are going to get for those violations? Like, right, Peter, you read them off like a couple of weeks ago. Like massive loss of draft picks, and you already know what. What the coaches have been threatened financially for not wearing masks and possibly losing draft picks. Yeah, I mean, imagine if something were to come down and the Giants were to lose what could end up being, who knows, the third or fourth overall pick in the draft because of this. So that's what the NFL is going to do, Michael. It's like, all right, you're out of it, fine. But those teams that are hoping that this bad season for them is going to result in a high draft pick, well, guess what? We're taking the draft pick away.
Now, according to Pat Leonard of the Daily News, The word is that they were having dinner at a restaurant in a private room, and after the dinner, they were asked to have a drink at a bar, and the bar is closed to the public.
Yeah, but there were people in that bar.
There were people there, but they weren't at a loosey-goosey club.
Somebody asked you to have a drink, right? And you know we're in the situation that we're in. Can't you just say no? Here's the problem, because I do sympathize somewhat with them. These are young, healthy athletes.
Viral.
There's just such a minuscule chance that if they got it, they would get seriously ill. Minuscule. They probably take more of a chance with a life-altering injury every time they step on the field than they do getting COVID. Really, that's true. Now, people have... Like the guy with the Jaguars can't play because he has a breathing problem. The kid with the Boston Reds. Yeah, minuscule. But they probably think, even if we get it, that young people probably thinking like that.
All right, but this is what has to be hammered home. Is when we've talked about this since the infancy of the pandemic. Fine, but life's not a vacuum for them. You know, they're going to go into the facility, you know, possibly get a teammate sick, who then can go home and get his wife sick or his grandmother sick or his mother sick. And not to mention the NFL ramifications. What if a Giant got sick that postponed the Buccaneer game, they trace it back to Jones and Saquon and Sterling at some party someplace, and then the Giants lose their first round pick?
It is that the three biggest stars are hanging out together.
Yeah, well, that was Joe Judge was kind of spinning that too, that he was happy that they were all together. But you know what I'm saying? Forget about trying to convince these kids about the possibility of getting sick and getting grandma sick. How about how the NFL can come down on the Giants if they violated protocol and the things that can be lost here? I mean, so every decision that you make isn't just about you. We've said that forever. You want to get sick with it? Be my guest. You think you're going to be okay? Fine. But that's not how this virus works.
Well, there's trouble in Chicago. but it's a different sort of trouble when it comes to Matt Nagy and the Bears. Interesting story comes out. First of all, here's Brian Griese on Monday Night Football during the Rams-Bears game.
We were talking to Nick Foles yesterday, and he said, you know, sometimes play calls come in, and I know that I don't have time to execute that play call. And, you know, I'm the one out here getting hit. And sometimes the guy calling the plays, Matt Nagy, he doesn't know how much time there is back here. And so that's something that they have to get worked out.
Okay. Now, hold on. Let's hear from Matt Nagy after the game.
I don't know. You'll have to, whenever you talk to Nick, just kind of see where he's at with that. Nick and I have a pretty good relationship, and he hasn't said, I mean, he'll probably explain what he meant by that.
And now let's hear from Nick Foles.
That was definitely a miscommunication with Brian and I. You know, we do these pregame conversations the day before the game just to give them information. That conversation, Coach Nagy and I have a great conversation on the sidelines. So there might be times where we go through it beforehand and say, hey, what do you think? And there's times where you got to get the ball out quick and whatnot. But in those situations, like Matt and I have a great relationship on the sideline with conversations and everything. I think, you know, in that situation with Brian, it was just a miscommunication of words because that's not what I was trying to bring across in that conversation.
Awkward.
Yes. Mm. So who do you believe?
And also, it could have been a case where he's telling Greasy something or he thought it was off the record. He might have said that, never thinking that Greasy would go on there, and Greasy didn't realize it was off the record.
Brian's savvy enough. He's been doing this for a while now. That shouldn't happen. That's not a good enough excuse. Because they're having these Zoom meetings, right? So how private could it be? It's not like, you know, usually, Michael, you know, you'll have an on-the-record conversation and then it kind of morphs into an off-the-record conversation. It can happen on Zoom, but it's a little tougher, isn't it? Because other people, you don't know who's maybe on there or monitoring it. So I think maybe, listen, Brian might have misunderstood, but I don't think it was a misunderstanding of what was on the record and what was off the record. Brian's smarter than that.
Trevor Lawrence may no longer be staying at Clemson. He's now said, who knows? We'll have to see how
you messed up the lead.
That was a little bit of a misspeak. That's by him. But he'll make it right.
Let me try it again. Try it one more time.
Trevor Lawrence may no longer – hold on. Oh, yeah, you're right. We all thought Trevor Lawrence was surely coming out of Clemson after this season. But in fact, maybe he'll be sticking around for another. On his future, he said, who knows? We'll have to see how things unfold. Which loosely translated means the Jets are a dumpster fire that is offensive to both dumpsters and fires. Ed, I don't want to play there.
You're a college man. You're a man of college.
Now, we do what we got to do, right? We jump to the conclusion because that's what we need to do in New York radio when you're at home of the Jets. But he could just be being that guy. And, you know, for the fans of Clemson, giving him a thought that, you know, I haven't completely disregarded you. I guess there's a chance I could stay. Could it be that more than anything?
No.
Okay.
I mean, even his coach knows he's leaving. If you read the Sunday Post, I think it might have been Zach who did it. Zach Brazilla did a story on Trevor Lawrence. I mean, you can't find somebody to say something negative. Forget about anything negative. You can't. Everybody glows about this guy. Like we have to get on. We have to get on some of our draft experts because I mean they gush over this guy. That there's not a flaw. If you think about it, he's lost one college game, the national championship game last year, where he did not look good.
Right.
But other than that, he's lost one college game.
No, and I'm not saying he's going to stay, Michael. I'm just saying that right now, here in October, in the middle of the season, is it possible that he's going to make his announcement, right? So he still has the right to change his mind. Maybe he's just kind of playing, being that guy. Just, hey, I haven't made my mind yet. I haven't made it up yet. I got time to think about this. I don't think anybody's going to buy it, but that might be it more so than, oh, I just know it's going to be the Jets. Because I think we've known it's going to be the Jets now for a while, right? It's not like all of a sudden the Jets were awful the last couple of weeks. We knew like 2-3 weeks in that was on the table.
Well, it's on
the
table.
Now he brings it up.
I still think the Jets are going to Jets this up.
I don't. Well, how?
they're going to win a game or two.
I don't think so.
They're going to have
first
to.
First of all,
I think
they almost beat the Bills.
Yeah, almost.
If
the
they
Jets.
Weren't inept in the second half, they might have beat
the
Bills.
But they were inept. That's the thing.
But they were not inept in the first half.
But here's the thing, Michael. I never thought for a moment they were winning that game. And not because I know the Jets. And just watching that game, the Bills were in control. They were moving down the field every time they had the ball. They never punted. They just had trouble in the red zone. And then the Jets, you know, they couldn't, even when they were moving the ball in the first half, that first drive was really good. But otherwise, the Bills were still in control of it.
Mark my words, they will Jets it up.
But they're going to have to win to Jet it up. Jacksonville's not losing out. Jacksonville's been way too competitive. So who else is on the table? Cincinnati, you were just talking about how great their quarterback play has been, despite the fact that their offensive line is terrible. So the Jets are probably, to Jet it up, are going to have to win 2-3 games. They're not doing that.
No, I don't see it either.
They might stumble into a win, Michael.
I think Sunday, the only thing that was clear was that Buffalo would not cover. But in no way was the game in doubt.
No.
Even from 10-0.
And when they got the ball back, Peter, you knew they weren't going to drive the field, score a touchdown, get a 2-point conversion. It wasn't on the table.
And now we can rule Washington out of that conversation. We are clearly a very good football team.
And Dallas, even if there's a complete revolt, they've already got 2 wins. I think the Giants will win more than just the one that they have.
Did you say Dallas?
Dallas.
Yeah, the Cowboys. Sure, I've heard of them. Jerry Jones was on 105.3 The Fan.
Why?
Well, because it's, I think, a weekly spot.
Okay.
And he was asked if the Cowboys have a leadership issue, and he got a little testy.
Does your team have a leadership void?
We're in the offensive line.
Just overall,
where would you have a leadership void? Is it an experience void? Is it a talent void? Is it a leadership void? I'm not trying to be cute here. The answer is no. The answer is no. Shut up and let me answer. No.
Jerry, when you go into the locker room, what I'm asking is, do you see the intangibles?
You're not asking me that. I gave you the answer. When I go into the locker room, there's no leadership void in my eyes.
Okay.
Now, that's your answer. Let's move on.
There's a leadership void.
Guess what? I just heard some of it.
I mean, it's all the rumors are all over the place. That they just have no respect for the coach. And to lose it as quickly as they have.
My God, that's a bad sign. It's a bad sign. Really bad.
I didn't even tell you guys this off the air. We're going to have Jim Dolan as a weekly.
Is that true?
Yeah. Because he heard that. He heard that Jerry Jones does it. So we're going to have Jim with us weekly. And he's going to be on for an hour taking phone calls too, which is great. And he's not taking any money for the weekly.
Ask Phil.
And what do you expect from the team this year? Good, nice solid draft.
Going to be good.
Buddy, what are your thoughts, Jim?
Ask Phil.
Okay. But he doesn't even work there anymore. So how do you plan on dealing with the upcoming season given the global pandemic?
Ask Phil.
Well, I'm making it up. He's not going to be weekly.
Okay, good.
Really?
Steve Cohen will. Steve Cohen is going to go against his flagship station and do a weekly with us. Big fan of the show.
You know what? I think Peter will appreciate this.
Yeah.
I'm good.
You know what? I want Steve Cohen as often as humanly possible. Be tremendous.
Would you want Bobby Axelrod?
Ask Phil.
The character Bobby Axelrod
is fashioned after Steve Cohen.
Yeah.
Might not look like him, but it's fashioned after him.
That's still not enough reason to have him as a weekly.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm not even watching Billions right now, so I definitely don't need.
Well, because
I've never seen it. Is it good?
It's a great show, but I fell off last year. Speaking of the Cowboys, guess who's back in the league?
Dez Bryant.
Roger Staubach. See, you thought you knew where I was going, but you didn't. Staubach signed a deal with the Giants. No, you're right. Dez Bryant signed to the Ravens practice squad.
It's been out 2 years.
My emotions running high right now. I'm thankful. Can't stop crying. He worked out in August, but left without a deal. The Ravens are like dead last in wide receiver play this season. Of course, 2017 was his last year in the league. In 2018, he was set to play, got injured during training camp, and he's been out, yeah, Michael said it, a full 2 years.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Now, here's a story that's going to force both of you guys to pretend that something doesn't sound bad because you're company men, but it's a little weird. College game day is going to be held at Augusta National on Masters weekend. According to the release, ESPN and Augusta National Golf Club are bringing two sporting event traditions together in a unique way, as College Game Day, built by the Home Depot, is set to originate from the Masters tournament, which was postponed from its traditional April day due to the pandemic. Blah, 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 blah. The 11-time Emmy-winning award traveling pregame show will emanate from the par 3 course, the site of the Masters par 3.
You know what shocks me about that, Peter?
All of it?
No, not all of it. The fact that the Masters allowed it. The Masters doesn't allow anything.
I know.
Anything. They don't deviate from tradition at all. All of a sudden, you're going to have the College Game Day crew. I'm shocked.
I want to know what else they could do to have Don be less interested, because they have golf mixed with college football. Don, what could they sprinkle in here?
I don't know. Break out in a highline match maybe or something.
I did watch a lot of College Game Day on Saturday.
Okay.
And I got to tell you, it's so much better without lunatics screaming behind them. You can actually hear what they're saying.
That's interesting.
Well, here's what I take from it in all seriousness. The Masters must be kind of concerned with this November date that it may go like the NBA way, where everything will be down because it's just not the time that it usually is.
But Don, so, they don't ever care about that stuff. That's why I can't believe they okayed it.
Yeah, but I think people care about, like, there being a disinterest. Like, listen, the golf fans are going to watch it because it's golf, but the whole mystique of the Masters is when it's played, and I think if there's something, right, Peter, that can be affected by its date, this might be it. And to me, this is an indication we need to try to see if we can get more eyeballs to this.
It's weird.
Call attention to it.
I mean, this is the same place that they still charge 25 cents for Coke. They charge $1 for a cheese sandwich and, like, I think 50 cents for a hot dog. Everything is stuck in the 40s. I can't believe they've allowed it. Well, I give ESPN credit for somehow...
No,
I guess
it's a
asking
great job
and them
by
saying
us.
Yes.
It's a great job because it that's a great cross promotion and all that. But I think
it is weird. It's
the Masters is kind of just
so not Masters.
How's this going to be?
I can't even. It just doesn't go to me. But hey, somehow I missed this audio, guys. We have the audio of Mike Nolan getting Tabasco sauce in his eye. Do you want to hear it?
Oh, sure. How was this not the lead?
I know. I didn't realize I had this here.
The lead was his scaffolding outside his building.
So, you know what? Take a walk. Here's Mike Nolan.
Obviously, the frustration for him as well is just, look, when he misses them, excuse me. I got something in my eye. Just had some Tabasco on my finger and it went in my eye. That wasn't good. Oh, it's terrible. Jeez. I'm sorry.
All right, we're back. Jory, I guess.
Forgive me. I'm sorry. And I don't remember the question. If you give it to me again.
Do you know that Bruce Beck told me a story that. He had something in his eye, right? And he was going to put some Visine in it or eye drops.
Okay.
And instead, he took a can of Whiteout and he had to go to the hospital. He was screaming at the top of his lungs. Thought he was going to go blind.
Wait, he put Whiteout in his eye?
He put Whiteout in his eyes.
How did that happen? How can that possibly
happen? He just grabbed for a bottle that was on his desk. He thought it was the eyedropper, put it in, and it was Whiteout. And he said he's never felt pain like that, and he couldn't see, and he was panicked, and they had to rush him to the hospital.
If it was anybody else, I'm telling you, anyone else, I would say the only way that would be acceptable is if you were completely wasted. But I know Bruce, and that's not Bruce.
Bruce is salt of the earth.
But That's a tough one. But you know what? You know what's on the table is that he's just so dedicated to whatever he was doing that he got distracted because he's such a pro.
Now,
but that's a tough one.
I do want to respond to one thing. Someone wrote me and said, your take on not having interest in the Cohen story shows he fundamentally fails to understand his Mets audience. Sorry, Peter, but it's just an awful take. For Mets fans, this is like Dan Snyder being on the way out. I just need to say this. I've said it several times. I'm going to say it one more time. The Wilpons were not good ownership, and I understand the excitement. When you compare that to the pain of Daniel Snyder, it's offensive. I just want to say it's offensive. It's not the same.
But you know what they're saying.
They're
getting rid of owners that they don't like
right.
for a guy who's richer than any other owner. Of course they're excited. Well, but, don't you worry, Met fans. We're going to cover this like a glove.
Can I back up Peter for a second? I'm not saying that it's not a great thing if you're a Met fan. I'm a Met fan. But from a talking point, how long can you talk about it?
Let's watch.
No, he owns the team. Listen, you can watch. I'll wander off. I'm home. You know, I don't have to sit and take it. I'm just saying that it's fine. Now start signing people. When then you sign people, we'll talk about the signing of people.
But yet previewing ownership.
The team's
is
sold,
hard.
All right? He's been approved. Now he's approved. How excited are you? 1-800-919-3776. Biff and Bonetown. What do you think? Oh, well, I gotta tell you, I'm really excited. Oh, me too. All right, good. Yeah, fabulous radio. Let's get to work. Now you own the team, let's get to work.
Thank you, Don. That'll do it for ENN on this, a Tuesday evening.
This is what Jerry Jones said after what happened today on the radio.
Oh, no.
There's an old adage. Don't piss an old man off with a little money. It'll get you.
Yeah. He's such clown shoes. I don't know how you not see it.
Is that threatening?
I don't know. I have one very important question to ask Don because he likes Halloween so much. There's no way on God's green earth that you are a fan of candy corn, I hope.
No, of course
I like
not.
Candy
it's
corn.
Worthless.
You like candy corn? I'd rather get pennies thrown in the bag than candy corn.
I think they only
corn.
Manufactured it once and just made a lot of it.
Yeah, Don believes it's the same 70-year-old candy corn. I enjoy candy corn.
Now, how could you pause? They designed it for it not to be enjoyed.
why don't you like it?
What flavor is it? Wax? Like, it's not a
sugary
flavor.
Sugary wax. It's like sugar wax.
So why don't I just give you sugar wax then?
That's not a thing.
I'm going to make it.
All right.
Come by the house, everybody. You'll get some sugar wax.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.